Welcome to Training for Manhood, an ongoing exploration and adventure intended to be fast, fun, and formative for guys who desire to be the best men they can. Young or old, there are always areas for improvement, growth, and maturity. We hope you'll pay attention and put into practice the useful advice you hear on this podcast. But remember, the goal isn't just to listen, but to do what you learn. Welcome to Training for Manhood.
Hey guys, welcome back to Training for Manhood. Nick Henderson with me again. I had a good conversation last week, Nick, about just your journey, some of the struggles that you have been freed from, and we talk about freed from the penalty, but the presence and the power of sin still is a daily battle. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about for kind of session two was this importance of really you've got a discipleship group, right? A cohort of men,
yes.
A gathering of brothers doing a life together with. And I think this is a thing that we don't talk enough about, and that is loneliness is such a huge, right? Isolation. We talked about how sin loves isolation, insulation, the darkness yes. to be alone. The light is a place that we walk together in.
Yeah.
And so just, there's a huge aspect that isn't being paid attention to of just how lonely men are. And your reality, right, is, hey, listen, here's the deal, right? You got to find a group of men mm-hmm. to do life with.
That's right.
And what does that mean and what does that look like? And so that's what I wanted to ask you, right? There's a guy out there who's lonely. There's a guy out there who's isolated and alone. And he's just like, yeah, I would love to have, Nick, what you've got,
yeah.
a group of men to do life with. But I don't know how to get there.
Right.
Right. What does that look like? So walk us through, what does it look like for that guy? What's the wisdom you'd give?
That's a great question, Dan. And I think I can speak to that with some authority because I was that guy for a long time.
Yeah.
Living in isolation, living just kind of in the echo chamber of your own mind.
Yeah.
Probably listening to and believing some lies from the enemy about what it means to be a man,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
I think there's a really this contrast of what culture would say a man or manliness is, and what the Bible says manliness is.
There is some truth to that aspect, right? That the culture has told us that masculinity,
yeah.
Is okay with being alone. You're the lone ranger.
Right.
You're tough. You're strong. You don't need other people. And the interesting thing about that is, right, if you think about it, right, we believe that we're made in the image of God. We're image bearers.
Yes.
Well, the interesting thing about that concept is that God, the Trinity, right, actually is a relational being,
right.
is a relational person.
Yeah.
And so his very nature is relationship oriented, right? Even 100%. Before he creates mankind.
That's right.
Right. God himself. Right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit has a relationship.
Yeah.
And so if we're in his image, we're not created to be alone,
no.
to be isolated. We're created to be in community.
100%.
Now, community with him, which is great. Because,
correct.
Because he is sufficient. He is our good shepherd, right? And he is enough for us.
Right.
But the relationships that we have with other people in a way complement that relationship that we have with him, because we're able to take then that identity that Christ gives us and we're able to walk with other people and share that identity with them. We're able to share some of God with the people who are around us. And so we're created to be in community.
We are. And that's one of the hard things for men in a Christian environment, in a church environment, mm-hmm. but just men at large, right? It's like we're a lot of things that go, a lot of the components of really good community are character traits that are sort of like downplayed, right? Like
yep.
vulnerability, transparency, connecting with your feelings,
yeah.
right? Like
yeah.
those are things that are like, oh my gosh, yeah. we're not going to like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And honestly, you really can't have community without some of those characteristics existing.
Right.
Right. So, you can have a group of macho guys who, get together and we never share our feelings. We never talk about anything important. We just watch the game together.
Right.
And there's a lot of
I was going to say fantasies, we're doing fantasy.
Yeah. There's football. A lot of guys out there who think that those groups are going to make them less lonely. And in reality, can I just say, I think it actually amplifies the loneliness.
Yeah, because it exacerbates it fosters an environment where you don't have to do things create this vulnerability. And, you know, it's like I think about those in a progression, right? Yeah. Like that would be what we would call like a casual conversation,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
So like we're going to go and watch March Madness together.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And we're only going to talk about March Madness, and we're going to talk about dip, and we're going to talk about whatever. We're going to have chips and dip, and we're going to have some sodas, and we're going to watch the game,
yep.
And we're going to leave.
Surface level.
Yeah.
Totally.
So casual.
I don't know you. You don't know me.
Right.
We're rooting for whatever team we're rooting for. We're done. We go home.
Right.
Right. And I go, what was that guy's name again?
Right. Or they check the box of, man, that was community, right? And for a lot of guys, that's the extent of community.
Yeah.
It's like these.
Oh, can I tell you one of the crazy things? There's actually a commercial of a bar where everybody's singing, you know, one of the like Neil Diamond songs or whatever, and it's just like
Sweet
Caroline. Thank you. Yes, it's like which one is it? We're all swinging Sweet Caroline together, right? You know, and it's this weird thing where it's like, you know, the beer is trying to tell me that this is what community looks like because we all know the words to the song. And here's the thing. It's like, here's the thing. The world is trying to tap into the truth that God has given us by giving us a cheap substitute of the truth.
That's right.
Okay. So here's the deal. Don't buy that.
That's right.
Right. That is a surface level. Hey, we're meeting at the bar. We're singing Sweet Caroline together. It's like,
bum, bum, bum.
Thank you. Okay. Right. But that's like it taps into the reality of, yes, that's what you're wired for, but you're not wired for just those surface level, you know, conversations and just those those community groups that you're gathering together that don't have any depth and significance to them, right? It's not that those things are bad in and of themselves, but they are a shadow of the real truth that exists.
That's right. You know, it's funny because it's like I think about this, and the last time we got together to talk – we were talking about addiction struggles and how like that when you resort to a chemical or a behavior, that is a shadow.
Yeah.
What you're looking for is connection.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
And so in the same way, you know, these casual surface level conversations are you're looking for something and you're filling it with this. And you know, I'm doing this discipleship cohort, and one of the things that really it's just an area of passion for me in terms of connecting with other guys is helping them to move out of the perceived safety of casual and into intentional. Like you move, there's a progression, right? You move from a casual conversation to a personal conversation, and personal means you have to peel back a layer, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to know a little bit more about you. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's interests. Maybe it's hobbies. Maybe it's who are you coaching?
Sure.
How's your marriage?
Yep.
And once you graduate to the personal, then you can get into like intentional conversations. You can pick a strand of that and be like, hey, how is your relationship with your wife this week, or how are you doing with your kids, or what's going on with your project at work? You get into like an intentional, more narrowed conversation. And then the key is you're building to a crescendo of introducing a concept of spirituality, right?
Yeah.
And what you can do this with brothers in Christ, or you can do this with guys at work that you don't know where they are spiritually, right? And so the idea here is we're Christians, and as Christians, pursuing other relationships to live in community follows. If we're following Christ, it needs to follow a progression towards gospel conversation.
Right. Now, some people, may not want that. Right. So some people, you're at work, right, and you're starting to have a conversation, and it gets more personal. It gets to the level where you know you're sharing things, and I think here's the thing. I'll say, you know, from a man's perspective, this is not something that you're pursuing with women. Right, you don't want to begin to have those personal, intimate conversations with a woman who's not your wife.
That's right.
So, but as you're doing that with
this is training for manhood.
Training for manhood, right? But as you're doing that with guys, there's going to be guys who are like, you know, hey Nick, I don't want that. Right, I want to keep things on surface level. Ask me about March Madness, but don't ask me about my wife. You know, ask me about something here at work, professional, but don't ask me personal things. And here's the thing, right? Don't push it.
Yeah.
Don't push it. You don't need that.
No,
right? Don't force things that, you know, but here's the thing. When people know that you're the kind of person that has the depth, the significance, the meaning to be able to go past the casual,
right?
Here's the reality is people will show up at your doorstep and say, hey, I want to talk about, right, personal things. I want to have somebody ask me how my marriage is doing because do you have help for me?
Right.
Right.
It was so funny. Even the people that are like, let's stay in the casual zone.
Yeah.
Like because you have exhibited an interest in moving towards an intentional, personal,
right,
even spiritual gospel conversation may come back. That's a seed, yes, right? They know, hey, Dan is a place where I can go and be like, man, I got a question.
Yeah.
Or like, actually, my marriage is in a rough spot right now. And what's the answer?
What here's the thing, right? The great thing about a marriage is, right, you put two people together,
right
that you're going to have some conflict. And so that's
a,
yeah. But that's the great thing, right? If I say, hey, Nick, right,
yeah,
I'm willing to have conversations with you about difficult, tough things in your life,
right,
then you know what? Here's the thing. Marriage is going to be one of those things that something's going to pop up. And if that doesn't happen, then God, you know, does the great, you know, kind of trump card and gives you kids.
Oh, boy.
Right? And you go like, I need help, okay, you know, because, hey, you know, kid's doing this, kid said this, here's what's happening. Like, so here's the thing. If you're the kind of person who wants to have a community that's built on meaningful, significant, personal, deep relationships, and then the spiritual part of it is I'm not giving you my personal opinion about what I would do. I'm
right,
giving you truth from God's word about it.
That's
now
right,
that's a whole different level.
That's right.
Right? You know, the Nick comes up and says, hey, Dan, I've got this problem. And Dan says, well, you know, what I would do. Right? Yeah, can I tell you? Here's the deal. When Dan says, hey, you know what God's word says about that?
Right.
Oh, right.
Right.
You mean God, the creator of the universe? You mean
right,
God, the author and the perfecter of life? He's speaking to things that are happening in my life, and you know what those things are?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Now you are a wealth of information.
That's right,
that I would love to have around. And the cool thing is when you speak God's word to somebody, right, and they turn away from it, they're not turning away from you personally. Right?
That's right.
So if I, hey, Nick, I got a problem with my kid, and you say, well, this is what God's word says, and I say, I don't want to hear that.
Reject.
Right. Then I'm rejecting Christ. I'm not rejecting you.
That's right.
Nick, I love
what
you.
What a safety that
right,
is.
I love you. Yeah. I love you. You're a great guy, but you keep on sharing this
right,
truth here
right,
that keeps on telling me stuff I don't want to hear,
right,
and then you go, hey.
Well, see, that goes back to the lonely factor.
It does.
Right? And
yep,
see, that was the sort of the beginning of this, was that I think remedy for loneliness is getting past that,
yeah,
right? So, men are not that smart, but we can figure stuff out,
yeah,
right? And so, when you keep like when your pattern is rejecting connection,
yep,
for casual,
yep,
rejecting
yep,
connection for casual, over time you're going to be like, man, this doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
It took me about 30 years to yeah, figure that out with
yeah,
my. With my struggle, but
right, but whatever level you're at, you're right, you just, here's the deal, and you know the thing is the faster you wake up to this,
right,
honestly, the better off you are,
right.
But if you don't want to be lonely and just have those casual connections
yes,
that really are not meaningful, and here's the thing, right, it's you're created with eternity. It says right, eternity was set in your heart,
written
and
in your heart, yeah.
And so, in a sense, right, the depth of level that you want to connect at is an eternal depth,
mm-hmm,
right? Which, by the way, none of us will be able to meet, right? Your wife won't be able to meet it.
That's right.
The community you're going to have, only Christ can meet that.
That's right.
Right? So he's the only one who can fill that eternal void because he's the only truly eternal perfect being. But once he fills that void and you're in relationship with him, then the reality is like, oh, I can go have real meaningful, heartfelt relationships at a significant depth with other people.
Yes.
Right. That will, you know, never match the depth of relationship I have with Christ himself. But I'm telling you, that will be pretty significant and meaningful because, right, once Christ has filled that up and he is sufficient for you,
right,
then you can go off and here's the deal. Casual conversations don't cut it anymore.
Right.
Right. It's just like, yeah. Oh, who cares? You know,
well, it's funny. Like,
who won the Super Bowl? Yeah. Let's talk about things that are meaningful
yes,
and significant. The casual conversation to me is just the open door to see if I can go somewhere else.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, for you and me, casual conversations are about
yeah,
are about like a millimeter of, yeah. of the, like
minute and a half.
We get into like, hey, let's talk about life. Let's talk about real stuff. Right. Yeah. And so I think, you know, in our friendship, we've sort of established, hey, let's have a real relationship. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. When we have lunch, right. Other than eating squid balls, which is a whole nother podcast that you had me do that. And you know, I've forever value your friendship.
Thank you.
Because of that.
Thank you.
Right. But I mean, the lunch is going to be, right, you know, 45 minutes of a meaningful conversation right. about something that's important.
That's right.
Right. And it is. Now,
that's right.
I can have lunch with somebody else, right? 45 minutes, casual, you know, mamby-pamby, talk about this, talk about that. But I'm just going to tell you, it that's not something I want to put on my calendar.
That's right.
You know, and schedule time for.
That's right.
Of just casual conversations that talk about, you know, what's happening in the Final Four.
You know, it's interesting too, because I'm in this mindset right now of like disciple making.
Yeah.
And we talked in the last time we connected about the Great Commission, about
yes.
obedience.
Yeah.
You know, and like, for, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think you and I exchanged New Year's Day texts, and you were like, hey, my word of the year, I believe, is hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right? And my word, my word of the year is obedience.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where for that, yeah, it may sound like a remedial, like obedience, okay, like what does that mean? But like for me, this is a big deal.
Yes.
Because like when you live a lot
of
your—
It's not just for you. It's for—
Well, that's right. But—
No matter where you come from,
maybe there
obedience
are
is a big deal.
Guys that are— I know guys. Like mm-hmm. I'm in a relationship with guys who are pretty vigilant about obedience to Christ and do a great job. And comparison is certainly a thief of joy, and I don't want to do that. But I also want to say, hey, in 2024, I want my life to be in all categories to be marked by abiding, right? And obeying. So like if I'm obeying Jesus as a husband, mm-hmm. as a dad, as a friend, well, what does that look like?
Yep.
Right. And so, you know, for me, that really made me take a hard look at what does it mean to make disciples?
Yes.
And so I look at Christ's model. Well, Christ had a message, he had a method, and mm-hmm. he had a model.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to me because I think absent of the model of him like demonstrating, the message and the method would really fall flat.
Yeah.
And so the idea of remedying loneliness in whether it's your life group or your relationships or with guys at work or friends is to me very gospel centric, right? And so I look at Christ and he called his disciples into a relationship with
right.
him. And it wasn't like he didn't say the Great Commission at the beginning.
Right.
He said the Great Commission at the end of his time on earth.
And his model wasn't come learn from me as I teach you. It was come spend time with me.
Watch what I
exactly.
do.
Get to know me.
Exactly.
And you know, that's where it's funny, the frustration of Jesus in talking to his disciples.
Yeah.
At one point when they're like, hey, just show us the Father and we'll be fine. And he's like, seriously, like
right.
we've been doing this thing for 3 years.
Right.
And it's like, you haven't realized that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right. He said it to Judas, not Iscariot. It was like, why can't you just show us?
Show us the Father.
Show us the Father.
I'm the Son.
I can't.
So the model— Yeah. Right, the method is that he's using as he's going through is building relationships
right.
with people, and the
right.
cool thing which I always love, right, of the 12 disciples, right, he had three that were closer,
mm-hmm.
right, than the others,
right,
and so you know even within those, you know it's you know close intimate personal relationships,
yes,
you know calling people out to spend time with you, investing them in them, getting to know them getting to know you, that's. That's relationships. That's what you were wired for.
Yes.
And so if men are lonely, right, and you know, we said this before, it was this idea of, you know, I think it takes a man to make a man. It takes a man to call another man out mm-hmm. as Christ did. I'll say this is, you know, if you're a man who's lonely, you need to go find where those men are that are disciple makers.
Right.
You can't just sit there.
Right.
You know, and you can't just go out and you know, make disciples without being made into one first.
Right.
And so the concept is go find some men. This when Trisha and I were engaged and we were looking for a couple to do our premarital counseling, right? I looked for a couple.
Right.
All right. That was walking with the Lord, that had a great marriage in terms of they loved each other and they loved the Lord. That's what a great marriage meant to me.
Right.
Right. Didn't mean that there was, you know, no conflict. It didn't mean everything was perfect. It meant they loved the Lord. They loved each other. And they were men and women, you know, of prayer.
Yes.
And you know, disciple making. And so, you know, we found the Currens. We were down in Austin, found the Currens. They're still my spiritual parents to this day.
That's awesome.
Because I sought them out and I said, hey,
yeah,
hey, I want what you have. Right. And just from a man who's lonely, go find a man who you say, hey, that guy's doing life well.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Like you're doing it well. Teach me. Tell me how to do it.
It's one of the struggles, too. It's like it's kind of like a vicious cycle. Right. Mm. Like loneliness breeds loneliness. Right. Isolation breeds isolation.
So true.
And so like.
Well, you said that before, the echo chamber of your head.
That's right.
I'm lonely because, and then you become the victim of, and whatever.
You, right. Like, you gotta, rationalize.
You got to break out of that.
And so like there's two sides to that, right? Mm-hmm. There's the one side of the lonely person, the man that struggles with loneliness, mm-hmm. saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to break free, yep. right? And I'm going to go seek out, right?
Yep.
But the other side of that too is like what Jesus did
yeah.
with the disciples. It was like, hey,
lonely.
You.
Yep.
Follow me, mm-hmm. right? And so that like the, I look at that as like, okay, that was Jesus's model. It was like, go find were they qualified? Were these like, no, they were not qualified.
And, well, and that's what he says, you're fishers, right? You're fishermen. I'm going to make you fishers of men.
Men, right.
And the concept is what qualification of becoming a fisher of men, right, does a fisherman have?
Right.
And the concept is like, listen, here's the deal. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know.
Exactly.
I'm going to equip you. I'm going to prepare you, right? I'm going to get you ready for that because, you know, the idea of fishing for men, you thought fishing was hard, right? Throwing your net over and grabbing a bunch of fish and pulling them in the boat.
Right.
Wait till you deal with men.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is it's like, I think I know a lot of guys struggle with this sort of presumption that in order to be an instrument for Christ, mm-hmm. right? In order to be a disciple maker, that mm-hmm. there's certain like, qualifications, right?
Sure.
Or like levels of, I need to know this.
Yeah, gotta be this, gotta be that, and, gotta, you know, do this, gotta do that.
It's interesting because I hearken back to the story of the woman at the well.
Yes.
When Jesus met the woman at the well, she's a Samaritan woman. Mm-hmm. So like, if you understand the cultural ramifications of a Jewish person going and having a conversation with a Samaritan woman, it like magnifies the impact of the story. But it says that she went back and told people from what she knew.
Yep.
And they believed. Yep. Like she was not, she didn't like go to.
In a sense, she'd been a follower of Jesus for 18 seconds.
Right. For like the walk from the well back to the village.
I'm going to tell people everything that I know. It's like, you don't know anything. Uh-huh. I do. I know him.
That's right. And it said that the people she spoke to believed. Like, and it was like, I was like, okay, wow. Like that, like, and so.
Because the concept was, is if she's telling you something about somebody who changed her life.
Right.
Right. Like, wait a second.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so like, I look at that story and I look at the way that Christ called and I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. And so like, you know, in our group, we've got guys from all, you know, subsets of life, single and married but each one of them, we ask them at the beginning, like, what's your why? Mm. And at the end of the day, all of them agree. It could be like, I want to be a better husband or I want to be a better father. But at the end of the day, they all include in there, I want to connect. Mm. I want to connect with other men that are after the Lord. Yeah. You know?
I want and a community like, of men, of believers to do life with.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so.
Can I tell you, life is complicated.
It is.
It really is.
Yes.
Marriage is complicated. Raising children is complicated. This world is complicated. Being a believer in the midst of this chaotic world that we live in. Right,
brother.
It's complicated, and I think the concept is we as men feel like we've got to know everything, right?
Yeah.
We've got to be on top of everything, and I'm just like, here's the deal, no, you got to find a group of men, right, that you can ask questions of, that you can, you know, go to, and that you can trust, that have your back.
That's right.
When life's not going well at 2 o'clock in the morning, who are you calling?
Right,
right. When you know the thing breaks down, who's gonna? I mean. Find a group of men that their yes is yes and their no is no, who know that they're saved by grace,
right?
Right, and who love the Lord, who've been forgiven much so that they can forgive you, because otherwise they're going to hate you.
That's right.
Because you're a doofus. So
that's right.
Here's the deal: find some men who say, "Well, that's okay, because I'm a doofus too."
Right.
Right. But I've been forgiven much, so I can forgive.
100%.
Right. And then you just, you do life together.
You do.
And you get past the casual, right, into that personal, that spiritual level, down where the heartbeat really is,
yeah,
that drives us.
You know, it's funny because it's like, I almost now am to the point in some of my friendships, some of my relationships, where it feels awkward,
yeah,
to have casual conversations.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't know how to shoot the bull with you guys, because we always talk about real, meaningful,
yeah,
gospel life, not just gospel, but like life stuff, marriage, yep, stuff, kids stuff. Like, yep, how do we navigate this? It's really funny. Not funny, just interesting how when you get into a pattern of intentionally living in community, where the conversations go, yeah, right?
So it's funny, like I call it, like I kind of drop seeds where I go in terms of relationships and conversations.
Sure.
So I'll meet you and we'll have a conversation and I'll just kind of drop something that's a little bit kind of stepping over that line of
right,
like what's comfortable,
yeah,
right? And it's funny because most of the time, I'm just going to tell you, most of the time, guys kind of back away from it.
Right.
Like, whoa, not ready for that, you know? And I'm just like, here's the deal. If you've got a lot of other great, meaningful, you know, awesome relationships and
right,
you don't need another one, perfectly fine. But if you don't have any,
right,
I'm just going to drop a little breadcrumb and see if you pick it up to go, oh, that's what I want.
Right.
And I'm just going to tell you, every once in a while, somebody will pick it up, right, and they'll answer the question, and all of a sudden the conversation will get deeper.
Yes,
and there's meaning and there's significance, right? And there's a true relationship that's built. And
it's an unlock.
It is.
It's an unlock. It's like, whoa, I'm able to do this.
Yes,
right.
And I think that's training for manhood, is you need to find some guys, yeah, right, that you can unlock that depth
that's
of
right,
relationship, and you need to, right, disciple making. You need yeah, to train them. You need to teach them.
Yeah.
Right. And then you need to send them out to go do that as well.
That's right.
And train up the next generation of young men.
100%. I mean, you know, we talked about like anecdote to loneliness. And I think it's really, you know, you said it. Seek that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're on the other side, be that.
Sure.
Right. And yep, so like go and find, or go and find, right? It's your, yep, your look either way.
Yep.
It's action based, right? Yep. It's like you have to go and either say, I'm going to bring you in or invite you in,
yeah,
or you have to go and say, I'm going to invite you to pour into me. Yeah. Right.
Can I tell you, here's the deal. This is why I am not a good golf partner. Okay. It's not just because I'm a bad golfer. Okay. Which, by the way, if you take me golfing, you will see parts of the course that you've never seen before. Right. I think that's the joy that I have. Right. And the other part is
true discovery.
I'm a better, you know, I'll say this honestly, I'm a better steward of my money and my time as a golfer than most people are. Right. So I go golf, you know, with people and they're taking 70 to 80 shots
yeah,
in 18 holes.
Yeah.
I'm getting 70 to 80 shots in the first nine.
Look, that's efficiency.
I'm just telling you, right. Yeah. I will get 100, well over 100 strokes yeah, in. Before the end of the day, right? And so I'm just thinking, you know, just dollar per swing,
right?
Right. I'm a better steward. But here's the thing, right? We go play golf and we're out there for 3.5-4 hours,
right?
Okay. Do you think I can have a casual conversation with somebody for 3.5 or 4 hours?
No,
impossible.
No,
absolutely impossible. Which is why it's so frustrating for me, because I'm like, I'm trying to get to a personal, meaningful, deep conversation with somebody,
right?
Right, and they're just like trying to play golf.
That's right.
Okay, or you know, hey, we're just going fishing. It's like, or we're just going to go sit in, you know, the hunting blind and you know shoot, you know, ducks or whatever. I'm just like,
right,
I can't do it.
Right.
I'm ADD, which doesn't really help anyway. But like, I can't just sit here and have casual conversation with somebody if I'm going to be with you for 3 hours.
Right.
Like, we're going to have a meaningful conversation about
right,
something, and you're going to feel awkward, and you're never going to invite me again.
Yeah.
So. Right. But as men, I think that's why so many men are lonely, is we try to replace intimate, personal, deep conversations with just experiences.
Yes.
Like, hey, let's go play golf together. Hey, let's go hunting together.
Right.
Hey, let's go do these things together. And you just have these experiences at the end, but you've never really had a heartfelt connection with another person.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it's funny because we think we pick these things to substitute.
Right.
Right? We try to substitute. And I look at that. I look at like sin struggles in general
mm-hmm,
are a substitution for the real thing,
yeah,
right?
And so like substitution for the real thing.
Yeah,
totally.
For sure. And so like not that playing golf is bad.
Yeah.
Not that sitting in a blind for 3 hours is bad. But what are you doing with that time,
right?
Totally. And so, you know.
Well, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you. You've got a son.
Yeah.
Right? I've got four kids.
Right.
Can I just tell you that the time that you spend with them,
you
know, there's a difference between quantity time and quality time.
Right.
And some people, like, they give away quantity time and they say, I just want to have quality time.
Right.
Here's the deal. Quality time always comes in the midst of the quantity time.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
You're just spending time with your kids.
That's right.
And then, right, a conversation will pop up. And then, right, something meaningful will happen. And right. So it's like, it doesn't mean that playing golf with your buddy is bad.
No.
I'm just telling you, in the midst of that 4 hours that you're out there,
right,
you better have some meaningful conversations that when you leave, you're not just talking about, you know, the golf game.
That's right.
You're like, oh, you know what? Nick and I connected and we talked about this or whatever. We talked about that.
Right.
Because it's just like, I'm just telling you, to me, it's, you're wasting time.
Right.
If you're investing 4 hours into somebody and the only thing you return with is a scorecard.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, it's like, again, I look at how did Jesus model that?
Yep.
Right. And, like, do you think Jesus would have engaged with someone for 4 hours without going from casual to gospel?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think there's not a time where I've seen that in the Bible. Yeah. And so I look at that and I'm like, well, okay. And so, yeah, I mean,
rich young ruler comes up.
Right.
Hey.
What must I do?
What must I do? I mean, just, you know, short version, go sell everything.
Follow me.
Follow me. Yeah. Right. I just, you know, Jesus could have answered that in a million different ways.
Right.
Right.
Totally.
And, you know, 99% of them, right, if we talk to Jesus about, you know, better evangelism style and, you know, how to make connections and,
yeah,
you know, it's like, Jesus is like,
right
to the core of the person.
Right, straight.
Right? Here's the deal. Your God, right, is control of things.
Right.
So here's the deal. Give it up.
That's right.
And follow me.
100%.
And the guy's just like, yeah, no.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is right, follow the example of Jesus.
Right.
Right, and get to know a person so you can get down to the core of things. And here's the deal. That's where I think, you know, the whole Proverbs 27 concept of iron sharpening iron.
Yes.
That's the joy of it.
Yes. Right?
That's the joy of doing life with a group of men who are iron.
Right.
Right?
That's
because,
exactly
because
right.
I expect if you're iron that you're going to sharpen me as iron.
And you know the thing about it too, the thing I love about that analogy is that iron sharpening iron involves shaving things off, right? And so, like, that's having real conversations,
right,
not just golf,
nope,
right? That's right. I love that.
That's good. That's good. So, hey, here's the deal. Takeaway for men. If you had to give them one thing, right? What's the one thing? I'm a young guy, and here's the deal. I want this, Nick.
Yeah.
I want this.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a young guy, and I want these meaningful relationships in my life. Give me one thing.
I'm going to say step out in faith.
Mm.
Be bold. So if you're looking for guys to disciple, go find them. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to be discipled, go find someone you want to be like.
I like it.
That's it. It's easy.
Yeah.
And then look to Jesus as the model.
Totally.
That's it.
Yeah. I love it. Man, Nick, thanks for the time. Thanks
Gosh.
For the encouragement.
Yeah.
For the challenge and for not just settling for the casual conversations.
I love it. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
You got it.
Thank you for listening to Training for Manhood. If you found the conversation to be valuable, make sure to rate us where you listen to podcasts. Also, check out additional content on our website, trainingformanhood.com. That's training4manhood.com. Until next time, in the words of King David, be strong and show yourself a man.